Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is March 8th. We are in Yeshayahu of the Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. Masa Damasek. This is a nevuah about Damasek. Damasek would be present-day Damascus. Damasek was always the capital of the country Aram. Aram was a very powerful country at one time in the region, prior to Sanherib and Ashur becoming the main power in the region. Aram was the main power in the region. And Aram was the country that, when we learned about in the beginning of Yeshaya, that they joined together with Melech Yisrael, with the king of Yisrael, and the two together ganged up against Melech Yehuda. That's what we had learned about before, that Melech Aram was one of those two countries that ganged up against Melech Yehuda. So, in the end, Aram, with the capital Damasek, is defeated by Sanherib, who is the king of Ashur. The capital of Ashur is Nineveh. So that is when Sanherib conquers almost the whole world, he has to conquer Aram, because Aram is the major power in the region, and he defeats them. So here, Yeshaya is going to have a nevuah about the downfall of Damasek, of Damascus, which is Aram, and coupled with that is also the downfall of the Aseres HaShvatim, of the 10 tribes, which Sanherib is the one who took them into Golus. So we have a similar nevuah about them as well. So the pasuk says, Masa Damasek, this nevuah about Damasek, Hine Damasek Musar Meir, behold, Damasek will be removed as a city, Vahisa Mi'i Mapala, and it will be completely destroyed, it will have a downfall, it will be destroyed. That's what's going to happen to Damasek. Azuvos Are Aroer, the cities of Aroer are forsaken, La'adarim Tiena, they will be for pasture, v'ravtzu v'ein macharid, and animals will crouch there and graze there, and no one will bother them. There will be no people around to bother them. There is a major issue with this pasuk because there's a reference to Aroer. Aroer is not part of Aram. In fact, Aroer was part of Moab, which was conquered by us, by Klal Yisrael, when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Aroer was originally part of Moab. We weren't allowed to conquer Moab, but then it was taken over by Sichon, and then when we conquered Sichon, we got Aroer and its surroundings. So why is there a reference here to Aroer in a pasuk that has to do with Damasek, with Aram? So Chazal say that here it's actually talking about the Aseres HaShvatim, that in addition to Damasek, to Aram being conquered and defeated, so too would the 10 Shvatim, would the northern kingdom of Yisrael. And why is that? So Chazal say that in Aroer, or in the places that the Goyim Levi, I just want to see which city it was in. Yeah. In Damasek. In Damasek, which now there was this alliance between Aram and the northern kingdom and Malchus Yisrael. In Damasek, they had 365 different Avodah Zarahs. They worshipped a different one each day of the calendar year. They had a different Avodah Zarah. So there was a special Avodah Zarah per day. So each calendar date had its own Avodah Zarah that was specific to that date. As is often the case that we find in Chazal that unfortunately when Klal Yisrael starts to do Averos and are influenced by the nations around them and begin to do what they do, Klal Yisrael for some reason feels the need to outdo the evil of the people around them. I think we see some elements of this going on today as well. So what Klal Yisrael did is they got a hold of all 365 Avodah Zarahs and worshipped them all each day. Instead of one per day, they did all 365 every day. It was almost like, you know, we can out Avodah Zarah the Aram people. We can be better over the Avodah Zarah than they are. So that's why Aroer is mentioned over here, that they would be destroyed along with Damesek, because, or taken into Galus along with Damesek, because they out-Damesek'd Damesek. They did it worse than them. The Gemara says that, just a similar idea, this is not relevant to this particular case, but a similar idea, we know that that Baal Peor, the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor, the way one worships Baal Peor is that one defecates in front of it. That is the way of serving Baal Peor. You would have thought that should not be a way of serving anything, but that is the way Baal Peor is officially worshipped. So the Gemara says that the Bnei Yisrael who were influenced by Avodah Zarah and worshipped Baal Peor, they managed to actually do it in a way that was more than what was done before, and that they were praised for it. The Gemara says that there was a Jew who went to worship Baal Peor, and the priests of Baal Peor were very impressed because not only did he defecate, he also cleaned himself using the nose of Baal Peor, of the statue. So they were very impressed by the ingenuity, creativity of the Jew in figuring out how to worship Baal Peor in a more meaningful way, whatever that means. So it sounds crazy. It is crazy. And remember, you're not supposed to be scornful of anything other than Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you're supposed to mock Avodah Zarah. It's foolish, because it is foolish. But that is what was done. Here you have a similar idea in that they worshipped one per day, and the Jews worshipped all 365 in one day. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. V'nishbas mivtzar me'Ephraim. So all fortified cities will be taken captive from Ephraim. Ephraim is a reference to the northern kingdom, to Malchus Yisrael. U'mamlacha midamesek, and also the kingdom from Damesek, u'shar Aram, and the rest of Aram. Kichvod b'nei Yisrael yiyu, like the kavod of B'nai Yisrael they will be. Which means, just as the kavod was taken away from B'nai Yisrael, they were taken into Galus, the 10 tribes, so to Damesek, Neum Hashem Tzvakos, says Hashem. Who will be on that day, Yidal Kavod Yaakov, the kavod of Yaakov will be diminished, Umishman Bisaro Ye Razeh. This literally means the fatness of his flesh will become gaunt, which is not a good thing. It means that the bounty that it has will be lost. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. It'll be like a person who is harvesting. When a person harvests using a sickle, so what they do is with one hand they gather up a whole bunch of standing grain into one bunch, and they with the other hand they take the sickle and they cut that bunch that they're holding. That way they can do it. That's very efficient to do a lot at one time. So it will be, the pasuk says, ke'esof katsir kama, like one who gathers the harvest that is standing grain, uzro'o shibali miktsar, and with his hand he will cut the sheaves. So that's the idea over here, that all at once. So that's the way they will be destroyed as well. All at once they're going to be destroyed. And it will be like the one who gathers sheaves in the valley of Rephaim. What does it mean to gather sheaves? So we know that there's something called leket. Leket is that when one does this, when one grabs a whole bunch of the of the grain, the standing grain, and cuts, inevitably some pieces fall out. We know there's a halacha to give to the poor. If one or two fall, you have to leave it for the poor. If three or more fall, then you're allowed to collect it. The owner of the field is allowed to pick it up. That's the mitzvah of leket. But that's what happens when you do this. It's inevitable that some pieces are going to fall to the ground. Well, here, not only is it going to be like the person who is harvesting with gathering a whole bunch and cutting all at once, but even the pieces that fall to the ground will be collected. It'll be as if there's nothing left. And this is an analogy to what Sancheirev is going to do, that when he's going to conquer Aram and conquer the northern country of Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, he's going to send them all into Golus. There's going to be nothing left. There'll be no members of Aram, no members of the northern kingdom left in those areas. Now, there were some members of the northern kingdom in Yehuda, in the southern kingdom, but in Malchus Yisrael, in the northern kingdom, they were all sent into Golus. And that's the idea over here. It's going to be like there's absolutely nothing left. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. V'nishar bo olelos kinokef zayis. You would think this is a little bit contradictory. It sounds like a little contradictory because it says there'll be some remaining. There'll be some remaining, like when one bangs on the olive trees, so then some olives fall out. Shnayim shlosha gargarim birosh amir. Two or three kernels, or two or three, if it's kernels of grain, it's grain, but two or three pieces, at the top of the branch, arba chamisha, or four or five, bisifeha poria, and on the branch, that's all they're gonna get. Nu'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael, says Hashem. So the simple reading of the pasuk sounds like it's talking about how many Jews will remain when, or how many people of Aram will remain, two or three or four or five, something like that, a few people remaining. So they won't be completely sent into Golus, there'll be a few people remaining. But the Gemara says this is actually not referring to how many from Aram or from Yisrael will remain. Rather, it is a reference to that army of Sancheirev after Aram is conquered, after Malchus Yisrael is conquered, and really the whole world is conquered, except for Yerushalayim, and Sancheirev is laying siege to Yerushalayim, and then as we know that Hashem is going to save Chizkiyahu, and he's going to send the Malach Gavriel, and he's going to wipe out the entire over million men of the army of Sancheirev, in one night, the night of Pesach, they're going to be wiped out. But there will be a few who remain. And as I mentioned to you before, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, how many will remain. So one opinion is that it says in the end of the pasuk, four or five, so there would be nine that remain. Another opinion is it says two or three, four or five. So 2 + 3 + 4 + 5 = 14. And that's how many remained from the army of Sancheirev. And the final opinion of the Gemara is that only 5 remained alive. From that entire army, only 5 remained alive. And those 5 are Sancheirev himself and his 2 sons, those 3 people, and Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan, who were both soldiers in the army of Sancheirev, before Nebuchadnezzar becomes the king of Babel, that he's a young soldier in the army of Sancheirev, along with Nebuzaradan, his chief butcher, that's along with him when they destroy the Beis HaMikdash many, many years later. This is the pasuk, though, from which the different opinions come of how many people remained from the army of Sancheirev. Pasuk Zion. Bayomahu, on that day, Yish'eha Adam al Osehu. On that day, now it's talking about when Sancheirev is destroyed. So that's the segue over here. We went from discussing Aram and Yisrael being conquered to what's going to happen next, which is that Sancheirev's army will be destroyed. And on that day, the man will turn to his maker, Ve'inavel kadosh Yisrael tirena. And his eyes towards the Holy One of Yisrael, he will see. Which means that the Jews who remain will rededicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will be saved anyway because they were dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now they will be even more dedicated to Hashem with this salvation of Chizkiyahu from the army of Sanherev. He will no longer turn to the altars, the work of his hands. And that which his fingers made, he will no longer see, which means he won't worship them. Different types of avodah zarahs that they will no longer be involved with once Sanherib's army is destroyed. Bayomahu, on that day, you are a ma'uzo, the cities of his strength will be. Now, let's keep reading. Ka'azuvas ha'choresh v'ha'amir, like that which is left behind in various forests. Choresh and amir are various words for forests. So his cities will be forsaken like a forest is forsaken, which means that a forest is not developed by human hand. People don't live there. So the cities will be forsaken like a forest. Asher azvu, that just like cities were forsaken, mipnei bnei Yisrael, in front of the Jewish people, vaisash mamav, they'll be desolate. This pasuk is reverting back to a discussion of what's going to happen to Aram and the northern kingdom Yisrael when they're conquered by Sanherev, that the cities will be totally desolate, just as the cities were desolate when we came into Eretz Yisrael. When we first came into Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua, some of the people stayed to fight, but a lot of the people fled, and they left their cities completely empty and desolate. And that's what the northern kingdom is going to look like when, and also Aram, when Sanherev conquers them. Why? Ki shachacht Elokei Yishech, because you forgot Had Hashem who saves you. Vitzur ma'uzeich lo zachart, and the rock that, again, of your strength, you didn't remember. Alkein tit'i nit'e na'amanim uzmoras zar tizra'enu. Therefore, you who were planted a beautiful planting, as Hashem planted you, it was beautiful, but now, uzmoras zar tizra'enu, pruning of a zar of a foreigner, tizra'enu. Now tizra'enu is a funny word. Tizra'enu sounds like to be planted, from the word zera, to be sown. Zmora is a language of pruning or of shearing, of cutting away. So the Mefarshim struggle with how to understand this word tizra'enu, but one of the Pshatim Rashi says is that you got mixed up with the foreign nations. That this is, you were planted as a beautiful planting, but then you got mixed in with the foreign nations, whether that means through intermarriage or whether it means through their influence, but you started to be involved with them, and that's why you are now taken into Galus. That's why your cities are desolate. Biyom nit'ech tisagsegi, on the day you were planted, you got mixed up, you got mixed in with the foreign nations. Uvaboker zareich tafrichi, and in the morning already, your seed was sprouting forth in a way that was not good. So that was already in the morning, already at the early stages of your nationhood, you were doing this. Neid katsir biyom nachala ucheev anush. Neid katsir means a pile of harvest will be a day of sickness and intense pain. There's going to be punishment for your behavior from already when you were in Mitzrayim, you were already rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoy hamon amim rabim kahamos yamim yehamayun. Now, Rashi says over here that from this pasuk and on, we're now going back to what will happen to those nations that are used to punish us, which in this case is Sanherev, but it's not limited to Sanherev, which means that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu often will punish us through other nations. Another nation will become powerful, and that nation will afflict us, hurt us somehow. Throughout the Nevi'im, various nations at various times became powerful and exerted authority over us and hurt us. So the reason for that to happen is because of our poor behavior, unfortunately. But the fact that that we deserved it, or that we were being punished, does not exonerate those nations for behaving as they did. They are still going to be punished for whatever they did, because it doesn't matter if we deserved it. Even if we deserved it, as we say all the time, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish somebody, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need anybody's help to punish. He can punish however he wants. He doesn't need a person in order to punish another person. He could punish a person without people. It could be through natural occurrences, storms, whatever it is. It could also happen through wild animals. It doesn't have to happen through people. The fact that there are Rishayim, there are evil people who make evil choices, and then Hashem makes a shidduch, and he says, well, this person deserves punishment, and that person wants to do an evil act, so he makes a shidduch, and he allows the person who wants to do the evil act to hurt the person who deserves to be punished. But that doesn't make the person doing the evil act a tzaddik. They're still a rasha, and therefore they still are punished for what they did. Because at the end of the day, their intention was to harm. So the nations that Hashem uses as a shevet, as a staff against us, as punishment for us, they will eventually be punished, always. And that is what this pasuk is referring to, the next few psukim. Hoy hamon amim rabim, behold the multitude of many nations, kamos yamim yehamayun, like the tumultuousness of oceans, they will be thrown around. Ushaon liumim kishon mayim kabirim yishaun, and the destruction of nations like the destruction of powerful waters, they will be destroyed. All kinds of being thrown around, being the upheaval of, imagine a tumultuous ocean. That's what it's going to be like. Lu'umim kishon mayim rabim yishaun. Same idea. The nations, they're going to be thrown around like the wild waters. The ga'ar bo v'nas mimerchak. Hashem will yell at them, and they will run. They will escape to faraway places. V'rudav kemotz harim lifnei ruach. They will be chased like the chaff of mountains in front of the wind. U'chagagal lifnei sufa, and like a small round like a plant in front of a tempest, in front of a wind. Rashi says that motz, which is the chaff, is the most inferior part of the stalk of the wheat, and the chaff that comes from the mountains is the most inferior of the chaff. So Rashi says the Rishayim of the nations of the world are doubly compared to something inferior. To the chaff of the mountains in front of the wind, that's how they will be blown about, thrown around. Le'es erev v'hine valaha. In the evening, it will be valaha. Now valaha usually means confusion. Rashi here says it means shadim. They'll be assaulted by demons. B'terem boker einenu, before the morning they will no longer be around. Zeh chelek shoseinu, this is a very important phrase. This is the portion of those who trample us. V'gorol livozezenu, and the portion of those who take spoils from us. So that in the end, this line is referring to all those who have hurt us. Even if it's for a reason that we may have deserved, it doesn't matter. They will eventually be trampled they will be destroyed. And this is what happens to those who trample us and those who take spoils from us. They themselves are utterly destroyed. Now, Perek Yurches seems to continue in the same vein. But Rashi tells us that from here on in, we are now moving towards the future, to the future battle of Gog Umagog. And the reason why we're switching to that, or it's not really switching, is because, as we've mentioned several times in Yeshayahu, that Sanherev, who comes with his massive army against Yerushalayim, that the Gemara tells us that there's three times in history when that size army attacks the Jewish people. The first is the four kings against Avraham Avinu, the second is Sanherev against Chizkiyahu, and the third will be Gog Umagog in the future. And when that happens, so they, of course, will be destroyed, just as Sanherev's army was destroyed, just as the four kings were destroyed. And therefore, here, we move into that discussion. So we're kind of talking both about Sanherev's army and about Gog Umagog simultaneously. So the pasuk says, Hoy eretz tziltzal knafayim. Behold, the land, the tziltzal, which means, it's a word that means a shadow, knafayim, of wings. So, what does that mean exactly? A shadow of wings. So, the one way of understanding is they're gonna come on ships, and the ships are gonna have large, sails. Those sails cast a shadow like big wings of birds. That's one way to understand it. Another way to understand it is that they're going to be coming from an area of the desert which is full of birds, and therefore there'll be lots of wings of birds over this army. So, Hoy Eretz Tziltzal Kinafayim, this land which has the shade of wings, Ashemi Ever Lenare Chush, which is from the other side of the rivers of Cush. Now, it's unclear exactly where that is. Cush is generally assumed to be Ethiopia. And if Ethiopia today is the same place as what Cush is meant to be, so then it is northeastern Africa. That's where Cush is. South and a little bit east of Egypt. So, that's where it is. It's not easy to know if that's precisely what it means. We just had in the Megillah that Achashverosh ruled over 127 countries, Mehodu ve'ad Kush, from Hodu until Kush. There is a machlokus in the Gemara what that means, whether Hodu is on one end of the world and Kush is on the other end of the world, and he ruled from one until the other, which means he ruled over the entire world, which he did. Is that what it means? Or a Hodu and Kush right next to each other, and it means that just as he had full control over two countries that were right next to each other, which is easy to control, so too he had full control over all 127 countries. That machlokas seems to also be arguing about where Hodu and Kush are. Typically, Hodu is presumed to be India, and Kush is presumed to be Ethiopia. Neither explanation of the Gemara seems to fit with Hodu and Kush, meaning what we think it means. They're not right next to each other, and they're not one on one end of the world, one on the other end of the world. So it's a little bit hard to know where when the pasuk says Kush, what it is actually referring to, and whether it always refers to the same place. So here, when it says Nahare Kush on the other side of the rivers of Kush, what exactly it's referring to is hard to know. It's even more confusing because Rashi seems to indicate it is in the east. Ethiopia is not east of Eretz Yisrael. So, I'm not sure where this is referring to. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Hasholeach bayom tzirim. He sends in the ocean his ships. This is talking about either Gog Umagog or Sanherev sending, in ships in the ocean. Uvichle gome apne mayim, and another word for various ships on the water, that with Gog Umagog, he's going to send great ships in order to see what's going on with the Jewish people. What do they want to see? Lechu malachim kalim el goy memushach umorat. Go, agents who are quick. Malachim are agents like shluchim who are quick. Kalim, who are quick, to the nation, El Goy, Mimushach Umorat, to the nation that is, that is that he's been pulled away. The word morat is used when a person pulls out their hair. That's what it means. But it means the nation that has been pulled apart, pulled away. Go to that nation. That's referring to us. El am nora min hu vahala. To that nation that was great from the time it was created until now. Meaning like this, that Gog u'Magog is going to be a war that happens when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's just explain this. I know we've said it before. Let's make it clear. Gog u'Magog. Gog is the name of a person. Magog is the name of a country. It's Gog from the land of Magog. Gog me'eretz ha-Magog. That's what it says in Yechezkel. So, the battle of Gog u'Magog is this Gog, who's the king, who's going to bring a massive nation made up of all kinds of people from all kinds of nations, a massive army, against Yerushalayim, against us in Eretz Yisrael. He will want to know, are they really back? Are the Jews back? We are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, establish ourselves there, and then Gog is going to attack. So, before he attacks, he's going to hear news that the Jews are back in force. And then he's going to send these great ships to see, is it really true? Are they back? This nation that has been pulled apart, that has been torn apart, this nation that was great from its inception until now, are they really back? What else about this nation? Goy kav kav umevusa. The nation that is little by little is trampled. When Hashem punishes us, as he has over the years, we know that he punishes us differently than he punishes any other nation. All other nations we had before in Yeshayahu, that the way he punishes them is he allows their sins to build up and build up and build up and build up, and eventually he destroys them. But with the Jews, he doesn't do that. He punishes us little by little so that our averos do not build up. And that allows us to continue on and on and on and on, and we will never be destroyed. So this nation that is only bit by bit trampled, asher bazu neharim artso, that rivers have laid spoil to its land, which means large armies have come and have conquered the land over and over and over again. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra. So Gog is going to be sending these agents on these ships to go see what's going on with this nation. Now you see the reference to the nation. We're going to have these words again later, so let's be clear what we're talking about over here. This nation that is number one is torn apart, has been pulled apart. That's one point. Two, this nation that has been awesome, has been great from its inception until now. Three, this nation that is punished little by little. Four, this nation that has been overrun by armies many times. So, he's trying to understand what's going on with this nation. We don't fit the mold of any other nation. We have been pulled apart and torn apart over and over again. Most nations, that doesn't happen. Either they're powerful or they're torn apart. But we get torn apart and have been pulled apart many times. We are awesome from our inception until now. We keep on going. We are punished little by little. We have been overrun many times. But we don't seem to fit the mold. What's going on with this nation? And here, Pasuk Gimel, we have a famous Pasuk because this Pasuk is one of the 10 Psukim that we have in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah for the Psukim of Shofros. In the 10 Psukim, you know that each of the sections of Musaf, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, we have 10 Psukim in each one of them. And here, this is one of the ones for Shofros. The Pasuk says, Kol Yoshvei Sevel, V'shochnei Aretz, all people who dwell in the land, those who dwell, the two different phrases for dwelling in the land, Kinsones Harim Tiru, when the banner goes up on the mountains, you will see. V'chizkoa shofar tishmo, and when the shofar blows, you will hear. You don't need to send ships to see what's going on. When we come back to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be clear to all. There's not going to be any need to go have an eyewitness. You're going to hear the shofar, you're going to see the banner. Kicho amar Hashem Eli, for so Hashem says to me, Eshkata ve'abita v'mechoni, I will rest and I will look in my dwelling, which means the Beis HaMikdash. Kechom tzach alei or ka'av tal b'chom katsir. I am going to, this is what I'm going to do to the nations, to Gog, like the burning heat on the light or on the fire, like the thick dew in the heat of the katsir. Now, the exact translation, the exact reference, I don't understand fully, but the idea is going to be that Hashem is going to allow Gog to blossom, become powerful and mighty, but then, just as when you grow things, if they ripen too quickly, that's not a good thing. Meaning that there's a process. They're supposed to go slowly and ripen. And at a certain point, they ripen. That's when you harvest them and you get the good fruits or the good produce. But if they ripen too quickly, then the heat kills them. And that's what's going to happen over here. Hashem's going to allow Gog to blossom and become powerful, but it will be like the produce that blossoms prematurely. And then they're destroyed. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Ki lifnei katsir kesam perach, because before the harvest, when the flowering is done, uvoser gomel yenitza, and the boser, which is the smaller size grape, will blossom, will bud, that's the right word, and it will become a blossom. V'charas hazal zalim bamaz meiros, and the those who cut down things will cut down using the cutters. V'esanitishos hesir hesaz, and the roots of what's growing will be removed by what is being cut off. They're going to be totally cut down at the roots. Even as they're blossoming, it'll be like they're too premature and they're going to be cut down. Yeyazvu yachtav le'etarim, they will be forsaken together for the birds of the mountains, ulevamas ha'aretz, and to the beasts of the field. And here we have a very important phrase, v'katz olav ha'ayit, the birds will feast upon them in cuts, in kayets, in the summertime. And all the beasts of the land, they will feast upon them in the choref, in the wintertime. Chazal say that the punishment for Gog u'Magog is that there will be a year-long destruction of the corpses of Gog u'Magog. The psukim in Yechezkel tell us that for a long time after the battle of Gog u'Magog, when they're all destroyed, that the we will be burying the dead of the Goyim, and then also that there will be corpses lying around that people will come across and they will need to mark them to make sure that people don't become Tamei, Kohanim, or anybody involved with Taharos. Don't become Tamei, and then there'll be designated groups of people going around burying the dead, because there'll be so many people, millions of dead bodies that need to get buried. And so it's going to take a very, very long time. And during that time, the birds and the beasts will be feasting on these corpses. Ba'isahi, at that time, Yuval Shaila Hashem Tzvakos, there will be a gift given to Hashem. What does that mean, a gift given to Hashem? We'll see in a moment. Am mimushach umorat, this nation that is drawn out and pulled apart. Umeam nora min huvahala, this awesome nation from its inception and on. Goi kav kav umavusa, this nation that is little by little trampled. Asher bazu naharim artso, that rivers or armies have plundered its land. So that's the same phrase that was used before. El makom shem Hashem tzvakos har tzion, to the place of Hashem tzvakos, to the mountain of Tzion. The Jews will be brought to Hashem as if we were a gift. The nations of the world, when they see what happens, whoever still has any Jews in their places, especially if those Jews were captives, then they will be brought as gifts. The nations of the world will take the Jews as if they are gifts and bring them to Yerushalayim, to Hashem, as a gift to Hashem to show their, the nations of the world, their loyalty to Hashem. They will recognize that Hashem wants us with Him, that Hashem considers us to be special, that we are treated differently than everybody else, and that difference is something that they're going to recognize and bring us as gifts. Now, this phrase, you see the phrase is repeated. This nation that is pulled apart and torn apart, this nation that is awesome from its inception and on, this nation that is trampled little by little, this nation that has been overrun many times, or its land has been overrun many times by large armies. Why will Gog attack? What's the reason that Gog is going to attack with all those people? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. It's important to be aware of the fact that we don't know when there'll be a milchemes Gog Umagog. We don't know when the war will be. We don't know what the war will look like. We don't know who Gog is. We don't know what nations will be with him. We have no idea when it's going to happen. All of this is shrouded in mystery. And the more you learn it, you're not going to know what all the answers to these questions. They're deliberately vague. Hashem has a plan, and he will make it happen, and he doesn't want us to know all these details. It's deliberately vague. And as we've mentioned many times, the Rambam writes that it is a waste of time. It is not considered studying Torah. It's a waste of time for a person to dwell upon these things, to try to figure them out. You're not going to figure them out anyway. Hashem doesn't want us to figure them out. And therefore, it's a waste of time, and it does not lead to any more Yirah Shamayim. At the end of the day, all that matters is Yirah Shamayim, is fear of heaven. And dwelling on these things and trying to figure them out does not increase anybody's Yirah Shamayim. It doesn't make anybody do more mitzvos. It doesn't make anybody do less averos. It does not help anybody with anything. So the reason why these things are written and these nevuahs were said were not in order to give us clarity. That wasn't the point. The Torah is written to give us clarity. We're expected to study the Torah, delve into it, and get as much clarity as we possibly can. When we're studying the mitzvahs of Shabbos, we're expected to try to understand the mitzvah of Shabbos as best as we possibly can so that we can observe it properly, keep everything properly, and get as much out of it as we possibly can. Grow as much as possible. The more we understand Shabbos, the more meaningful the mitzvah of Shabbos is, the more we will grow every Shabbos. The more we will become closer to Hashem. The more mitzvahs we will do, the fewer averos we will do. That is with Shabbos, and that's true with any other part of the Torah, any other mitzvah. When it comes to these discussions of Yemos HaMashiach and beyond, There's the purpose of writing them and telling them to us is not to provide clarity. So then why are they here? So they're here to provide for us context and a sense of who we are and where we are. Which means we have to know that Mashiach is going to come. We have to believe that. We have to want it and hope for it. We have to know that in the future there's such a thing called Tchias HaMesim, that there is the resurrection of the dead. These are important things we have to be aware of because we have to understand that there is a plan and that things are going in a particular direction. We don't just exist, but we're actually headed somewhere. There's some place that we're going, even if we don't understand exactly where that is or how that is, but we're headed in a certain direction. Gog Umagog is a part of that. And we have to know that there will come a time when we seem to be reaching the end. It'll be close to the end, whatever the end means, which I don't know. Whatever that means, and it doesn't matter. We don't have to know what the end means. But whatever this journey that we're on is, when we're close to that end, there's gonna be a war. Why? Because they are very, very powerful and very, very dedicated forces that don't want that end to happen. That are dedicated to stopping that end. And when we get close, those forces will band together in a massive attack to try to stop it before it happens. In the very last moment, there's going to be this massive battle. And this massive battle is precisely because we represent Hashem, because we are that nation that is torn apart and pulled apart. We are that nation that has been awesome from its inception and on. That nation that has been slowly, bit by bit, trampled, but not all at once. That nation that has been overrun many times, but we're still around. We haven't disappeared as much as everything's happened. And to the consternation of these forces, we haven't disappeared. We're still here, which means Hashem is still around. Hashem is still interested in His plan working out. When Golus Bavel happened, then there was a 70-year count, and we talked about this many times. And there was just this discussion with Megillas Esther that Achashverosh made his party because he thought the 70 years were up. They were waiting for the 70 years to end because they were waiting to say Hashem is done. He's finished with this world. He doesn't care about this world anymore. Evil can flourish. There's no fear anymore of Hashem being interested in this world. That's what they were interested. That's what they wanted to see. They were wrong, of course, and the second base something that happened. The same forces are at work today. As much as we may feel that we're worse off because we don't have a deadline, it's unlike Golus Bavel, where there was 70 years. We don't know how long it's going to be, and it's been nearly 2,000 years already, and how long is it going to be before Mashiach comes? As much as that's a negative, because it just keeps on going, it also means that from the other side of things, those who are against Hashem, who want to see that Hashem is done with us once and for all, they also don't have a deadline. They don't know, is there a time when Hashem is done with us? There was never any prediction about that. And therefore, as much as they are hoping that it's true, but we're still around. We're still here. Despite everything, we're still here. So it certainly looks like Hashem is not done with us. And when that we're getting towards the very end, and it now looks like we're actually going to resurface in a big way, they're going to come at us as powerfully as they possibly can. They're going to muster all their strength to come and fight. And that's going to be the war of Gog Umagog. And when Hashem destroys that army, that's the final step in reestablishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's clear control over the world. He's always in control of the world, but his obvious control over the world, that people will know who the real Hashem is, to the point that anybody left is going to bring Jews as gifts to Hashem, recognizing where we belong in this world and where Hashem really is, who is the true control over the world. Somebody told me recently that the language the Gemara uses when Achashverosh makes his party, that he took out the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash, it says Bas Satan v'rikeid beinehem v'haragis Vashti, that the Satan came and danced among them and Vashti was killed. That was the result of the party. because Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So this party, which was to celebrate the fact that the Beis HaMikdash will never be rebuilt, it's Vashti who was killed, the end of Nebuchadnezzar. We spoke about this in Yeshayahu, that was the final step in the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar's family. What's the language that the Satan came and danced among them? So somebody told me recently, I'm trying to remember who told me and what the, who he was quoting, that the dancing among them is like, what does that mean? When a person feels that there's no hope, that they're stuck, that they're about to be killed, they're about to be destroyed, there's nothing they can do, then they're frantic. And they can sometimes just like let loose, just to try to do anything they can to try to save themselves. And that the Satan, at the end, before the final destruction of the Satan, which will happen at some point, again, we don't know when it will happen, we don't know with the sequence of events, but at some point the Satan himself is going to be destroyed. The Satan is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara itself will be destroyed, will be neshchat, will be slaughtered. That the Satan will pull out all the stops and try to do anything possible to stay in existence. So the person who was telling this to me was suggesting that the person they were quoting somebody else was suggesting that is the what technology is about, that we are seeing in front of our eyes, that the just the pervasiveness of the Yetzer Hara, of just how pervasive it is, that it's never been so accessible, never been so pervasive, never been something which is literally at a person's fingertips every moment of the day, that this is something which is new, which is sort of seems like the Satan pulling out all the stops, seeming like Gog Umagog, this massive army coming against the Jewish people, this massive Yetzer Hara force coming against the Jewish people. Unfortunately, it seems to me that we haven't actually hit that point yet, that it's actually going to be much worse, and it's getting worse every day. We see it getting worse. Every time we see a new thing, hear about a new thing, we say to ourselves, like, it can't get any worse than that, and it keeps getting worse than that. So I'm not sure that we've reached that point yet, but we certainly see a surge in the accessibility of the Yetzer Hara, of all types of averos that are literally at your fingertips. You know, there was a time where if a person wanted to do certain types of averos, they couldn't do it because they just didn't have access to it. It took work and took time to actually be able to access the various types of things that they wanted to use as an avera. It just wasn't available. And today, everything is available. There's nothing that's not available. And it's not just that. There was a time when it was only available to the wealthy, because you had to have money. Money gave you mobility. Money gave you accessibility. Money gave you power. You were able to get to things and do things and manipulate things because you had money. But today, you don't have to have money. You can be anybody. Anybody, even the most impoverished people, have access to everything. To everything. And it's only getting worse and worse and worse. So I don't know when the end game is, but it certainly feels like a gathering of the forces of the Yetzer Hara into a massive Yetzer Hara push, which is what is represented by the Battle of Gog Umagog. This massive push to stop the end, whatever that end is, to stop it. This is all conceptual. We don't know exactly when, how, what. But we have to be aware that that is what is going to happen, and that it's very likely that it's being mimicked from the Yetzer Hara's perspective as well. And it gives us some hope that, as with all of the decadence that we see around us and all the disgusting behavior we see around us, that perhaps it's just because right around the corner is that final thing, that final push. And maybe that's what's going on. And hopefully it gives us some encouragement to fight with all of our might as well. If they're coming at us with that kind of attack, we have to respond with as much as we possibly can, as much effort as we can, to withstand the Yetzirah and to fight back. Yeah.
So, is this, I have a couple questions. This Pasuk Gimel that you said, that's when we say it in Shofros?
Yeah.
Is that the source for Tekab Shofar?
No, there's another Pasuk of Tekab Shofar.
Because this is the Sun Ace here.
Yeah.
Kinson Ace.
Yeah, that Kinson Ace is probably the Sun Ace, yeah. But there's another Pasuk also of Tekab Shofar. You want to know if this is for that Pasuk? Well, let's see what it says in the article.
Well, because interesting thing, because like if you look at
there,
you know, the Tekab Shofar Gadol, yeah, and the Sun Ace Lekab Yisrael,
yeah.
And Maisa, those are the ideas are here.
Yes.
It's very interesting because, you know,
I think there is another Pasuk, but let's see. Let's see, maybe you're right. Maybe this is what it's paraphrasing.
Article says that.
What?
Well, it's so different then.
Well, it tells you what it's...
I forgot the two letters that you...
Yeah. They say Yod Aleph, Yod Beis. Perik Yod Aleph, Pasuk Yod Beis.
In
Yeshaya? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Which and we had... Reason?
Well, let's just see that Pasuk. Let's see that Pasuk. I'm not sure. You might be right. It might be this Pasuk.
Because of the juxtaposition
of
the two.
You can write to Art Scroll. Yep. I think you're right. I think this Pasuk is more likely. Correct. Pasuk Yud Beis. It's more clear here. Okay.
So what's the reason really why? Because you know when you were saying before and you said and it's going to come to Yerushalayim, the Gog and Magog. So then I thought that Gog and Magog is like at the end of Golos. And so for Golos, everyone's all around. So why is it against Yerushalayim at that point? That they're coming to Yerushalayim, that the Nesha are in Yerushalayim.
Right, so the other Pesukim, both in Yechezkel and in Zechariah, seem to say that we are going to come back to Yerushalayim before Gog and Magog.
Like now? That, like today?
I don't know, like today, because I'm not sure. It sounds more like it'll be a Klal Yisrael that is following the Torah in Yerushalayim, and then Gog and Magog comes. So again, we don't know the sequence. That's what I'm saying.
I know,
very hard to know. But it seems from the Psukim in Zechariah and in Yechezkel, especially Rashi learns it over there, that there's gonna be, it'll be like, it's almost like a false geula. Like it'll be a sort of a geula, then comes Gog and Magog, and then the real geula. Something like that. That's what it feels like from the Psukim.
There's a lot of people in Yerushalayim.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of people in Yerushalayim. That's what I'm saying. We can speculate, but that's already, you know, we have no idea.
I know, because when you were saying, I was thinking, so like, really, it's a thing that we don't want to go back to Yerushalayim and gather there, because then this can happen.
Yeah, okay, but this happening is not a bad thing. This happening is Chevelei Mashiach is always something which is a double-edged sword, right? You want Mashiach to come,
like
but
labor
there's,
pains.
Right, but there's labor pains. So, I mean, the Gemara says there were Amoraim who said they didn't want to see it.
What's the reason why these forces are going to be having that ability to have that power?
It seems from here and from the Pesukim and Yechezkel and Yeshaya that it's going to be and Zechariah, that it's a way of making it clear that, you know, there's no other way but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like all the forces of evil are going to be totally wiped out. It seems like it's a final.
In order to for the world to become the acute,
right?
First they have to stand up against it.
That's what it seems. That's what it seems. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Presentation.
Right.
And the recognition of Shem throughout the whole world.
That's what it seems. That's what it seems. But again, we can only deal with it as a concept. We can't apply it because we don't know how it's going to work. And we'll find out after the fact. Like, you know, once we see it, we'll know. So, amen.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.